Well, thanks for the invitation to bring you up to date on the 30-year history of this book, or these books. A couple of comments. A number of you in the audience have contributed to these books or have taken a course at Michigan State. And my own philosophy is that you have to teach inventories in the field. And I think everybody who teaches it agrees with that, because everybody finds out a lot more about them if they have to go out and find them themselves, and they don't pull them out of a bottle. Let's see here. This talk is going to be just like the books, in black and white, because that's the only color photographs in the books. As you all know, there aren't many colored immatures except in Lepidoptera, some of the Hymenoptera, and a few Coleoptera, and a few Diptera. Most of the others are just black and white or gray. From Itasca to Dubuque via East Lansing. When I got out of the Army in 1956, I was in graduate school at the University of Minnesota. And at that time, I was asked the following summer to go to Itasca State Park and help Alva Peterson teach immature insects and take the course myself. So I did, and that was a very interesting experience because his was almost entirely a field experience. He did very little lecturing. He brought his books along and sold them to us. Volume 1 was $5 and volume 2 was $6.50. That was a little cheaper than what mine are currently. But it was informative because I found out what the shortcomings were in his books. These are his books, as you've seen them. Some obvious shortcomings. All the keys with few or no references to figures except for plate references. And if there's anything I always hated, it's having to read a couplet and then look for the figure about 40 pages away. So I tried to eliminate that problem in the immature insects books. No page references to families, but family descriptions arranged alphabetically, which was helpful. Keto taxi, he used Fracker's Greek letters in all editions and reprints from 48 onward. Hinton's 46 system was never mentioned. Diagnostic characters, if present, included within the family description. Sometimes characters given, and sometimes more information was given. I see the key, but no couple or page reference was given, so that makes it difficult to find it. In conclusion, his volumes were highly useful, but not very friendly. In the mid-1960s, I met Lauren Anderson from UC Riverside, who had been one of Alva's students at Ohio State. We discussed larvae of insects, books, and the need for improvement. And we agreed that they should be improved. We organized the immature insects conferences in 1967, 68, and 69, where we had various people just give their estimation of the status of the knowledge of immatures of various taxa. We concluded there was a lot to be done, and as you've seen today, there's still a lot to be done. We asked Alva Peterson if he would like to do that. He said no, but he told us to go ahead and we'd use his books as a basis, including all the drawings as we saw fit. We neglected to get written permission, which created problems after he died in 1972. It was a major problem. It delayed producing the books for a long time. So if you ever want to put something this like this together, you want to get permission from everybody whose figures you're going to use before you start, if at all possible. The most important questions, who would be the users? We thought it'd be students, pest managers, other entomologists. Who might publish it, since it would no doubt be relatively low in sales? We asked ESA, but they declined. I think it was a cost problem with them. Commercial publishers need to see something before they would consider it. so we postponed that decision. Were we going to cover all orders or just the whole of Metabola? We decided to cover all orders. Into what depth were we going? Decided the family was best, since knowledge below the family was poor or not available at all, and the book would be excessively large if we went below the family level, and it already is quite large. Who would do the work, since neither of us or anybody we knew could cover all orders? So we started looking for coordinators of the larger orders and authors for the smaller orders. I eventually did the introduction and the techniques, so there were other people that contributed to the techniques. I did the glossary and the indices. I had a Macintosh computer in 1986, which made it easy compared with antique ways of doing it, but this was an antique in itself because I had to enter every item separately in the right place. And the key to orders in selected arthropods, Wilbur Enns from Missouri gave us one to start with, and he was helping work on it, but it didn't cover everything we wanted. And then Stuart Hill from Canada came up with a reasonably good one, and we modified that to come up with what we ended up with. The coordinators for the larger taxa in Volume 1, the number of contributors, Orthoptera, Nickel, 4, myself, 18, Hymenoptera, Howard Evans, 4. He saved our butts, so to speak, because we didn't know who was going to do the Hymenoptera, and he volunteered. Coordinators for the larger taxa in Volume 2 and the number of contributors, Hemiptera, Tom Yonke from Missouri did the whole thing himself with some other help. Homoptera, Lois O'Brien, put those all together, and there were still just three other contributors, really, and Coleoptera by John Lawrence in Australia. 27 contributors. Now, interestingly enough, when John sent me the key, and we didn't have faxes or anything like that, so it was sent by like FedEx. And I looked at it, and it didn't have a single illustration in the whole thing. So I called him up and said, John, you know, if we're going to use this key, you're the only one that's going to know how to use it, because you really need illustrations, and as all of you know, that's very important. And the Diptera, Ben Foote, he did the whole thing, basically, with some help from some others. Guidelines were necessary, especially for the family coverage. So we asked for the family name, and again, sometimes you have trouble agreeing on a family name, common name, relationships, and the diagnosis, and I felt the diagnosis was really important, so you'd be able to look for key characters and be able to separate them. Something about the biology and ecology, and then a description of the head, the thorax, and the abdomen, and some comments, and then a selected bibliography. Deadlines obviously needed, but rarely met, since nobody worked full-time on immatures. Problems, not meeting deadlines. A few authors had to be replaced, usually hard to do. And I mentioned a couple, Howard Evans, who saved us once. No figures, the Coleoptera key originally had one, or done, but John Lawrence eventually came through in great shape. That key is in great shape. Too low or too much coverage. Easy to edit it down if too much, but hard to build it up if there's too little. Now, the Coleoptera key, I knew that I was going to have to duplicate a lot of figures because the same characters are used in many places. So I didn't tell Kendall Hunt I was going to do that. They agreed to let me set up the illustrations. And Wiley was interested in publishing it, but they wouldn't let me do anything like that. They wanted to do it all themselves. So I went with Kendall Hunt. And when I set up the Coleoptera key, I had 40 extra pages because all the duplications of figures. Some of the figures were duplicated, I think the maximum was 28 times. Total number of authors, pages, and figures, Volume 1, 46 authors, 754 pages, 1,969 figures, not counting sub-figures, and there were a lot of those. Volume 2, 45 authors, 974 pages, 2,095 figures, and again, not counting the A, B's, and C's. Pricing, that was an interesting one. If you look at this, in 87, it was about $70, and it went up but 5, 4, 2, 2, 7, and then about 37. And that's when they reprinted Volume 1, and they raised the price. So when they printed Volume 2, what they did originally did, Volume 1, they printed 2,500 copies, and they didn't sell well in the first 2 years like they'd hoped, as you can see. So when they printed Volume 2, they only printed half as many, 1,200, and they raised the price. So in 1995 for Volume 1, it went from 129 to 151 in 99 to 199 in 01 to 205 in 04 to 216 in 06 and 245 in 07. And Volume 2 came out in 1990, went 215, 93, 220, and 225, 229, 256, 268, 270, and 283 in 07. In 08, it was pegged to be 305, but it is now selling for 260. The reason is that they came out with a paperback on Volume 2 in the 100 copies that they reprinted this year. No changes, no additions, no nothing. I had to convince them that we really needed to have it reprinted. And they didn't tell me they're going to put a paper back on it, but it does reduce the price, and it comes, probably lays open a little better than it did before. Some suggestions. If more than one volume, submit all the volumes to the publisher at the same time. That way they can't really decide how many they're going to sell and how they're going to adjust the price. We had a 4-year difference there. Get permissions in writing, as already mentioned. Expect contributors to be late or never at all. And that's basically the summary of for my task to Dubuque by East Lansing. Thank you.